Welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week in Apple and everything that's gone on. There might be a bit of a rant. Who knows? Mavericks has taken hold if you've got a Western Digital Drive. you haven't got any past episodes of this show, that's for sure. And there's problems with Pages as well. And not to mention that the iPad cover as well, which I'm going to have a little bit of a dig about in a minute too, which means I'm going to get hate mail and death threats again this week. So good week in prospect. Joining me to rant at Apple, fantastic panel, recently returned from work and without beer. That's the level of commitment this man shows. It's Carl Madden.
Yes. Yes. 8 hours of driving and now I've still got to go out again to get some beer from the offie. Disgraceful.
There you go.
But here I am.
Here you are. Good man, sir. Well done. Well, did you buy an iPad Air?
No, I'm getting them at the end of the month, aren't I?
That's
what I said last time.
So. Yeah, and you're getting the Retina MacBook Pro thing as well, aren't you?
That's the plan.
All together now.
Goodness.
I was going to
maybe the Mini will be announced out by then as well. You never know.
Yeah, best of luck on getting that one, though, because I think the screens are in a bit short supply. But next to him, joining us on the Mac Show for the first time in a long while, it's Alex G.
You might very soon realise why I haven't been on the Mac Show in quite some time.
Are you ready for a bitch session as well?
I'm not a fanboy. I'm a user.
You and I remember you and I having a conversation when we first met about where's the love?
Yeah, it had all gone by the time we'd first met. And then since then, I think we've participated in knocking it out of most other people as well.
No, we're trying. We're trying, definitely.
Yeah, no, I'm a user. I've used for years. There's a lot I like about the product. There's a lot I don't like about them. You know, it's called having an opinion, that's all.
Chatroom says, you and the Apple hater lived by the sea. Mr. Batwinch has said in the car, you may be right, you might not have actually started by the time we hit Birmingham, never mind. From the City of Angels, live, in a hotel room, with good daylight, Ms. Gamont.
Howdy-do, buckaroos.
I've got to say, you've had a bit of infamy this week, have you not?
Which part?
Didn't someone nearly...
Best answer ever, which... Heart.
Didn't someone nearly get your credit card details?
They tried and failed.
But they had you at the start, you said. It was pretty convincing.
Because I have a Chase card, and you get robocalls when your account gets breached or whatever. So I have a Chase Visa, not a Chase MasterCard, and it was about a Chase MasterCard. Ooh. And then I went, oh, but every once in a while I get a wrong number. So that was why I thought maybe... If I could get a person, it would help, and I could tell them, like, this isn't me, I don't have this account. Like, in case it was legit, because it didn't occur to me that it would be shady. And then it wouldn't let me do anything until I entered my card number. So I'm like, yeah, no, this isn't going to work.
No. And there's Kelly on the phone in the video. Would that's going to be like the news channel going, okay, Kelly, just pretend to answer the phone. That would be great. And there's Kelly's office from the other direction. You knew I was going to get screen captures, right?
Yeah, I did.
Will Green lives under the stairs.
That was like, that's like a week ago, though, that actually aired. And then this week, the reason I'm in LA is because I'm at the MacTech conference. And so I got to hang out with a friend of the show, Adam Christensen, yesterday. And he'll be around again today, later. And then, I'm actually speaking at MacTech this afternoon, and I'm the opening act for our another friend of the show, Andy Anatko, who is the final talk today.
Very good. You're his warm-up woman.
I am. I'm like the warm-up comedian. It's kind of weird.
Good. No, they're the funniest. Now, I want to know, why have you got a rear-view mirror on your computer?
So you can see what's going on behind me.
No, really?
That's what rear view mirrors are for.
I was thinking every time you pressed Command Z, you got a beacon that went off like you're reversing it. Psh, 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 psh. No. No? Okay.
No, it's just because I sometimes want to be able to tell what's going on that's happening over my shoulder. So that makes it easier to tell. It's just been on my monitor forever, so I always stick it there.
And that's the title. And last but by no means least, at the last minute, fantastic effort as ever, Mr. Jeff Gamet on the Jeff Gamet Network.
Well, you know, considering it is apparently my network, the least I can do, and I really mean that, is show up occasionally.
Good man. Thank you. It is your network. Someone sent us a review. I need to do reviews, actually. I might do a few during the course of the show if I can find them, but I've had to restart Commentcast, and I haven't really put all the feeds in yet, so... But someone did say he loves listening to so-and-so on the Jeff Gamet Network.
Awesome.
That's us. The week in Apple, then. So we are post-iPad pickup day. I went and picked mine up. And I did the 10987654321 video. And all of the Apple staff are out going, woo! And all the lines going, oh, for Christ's sake, give us the iPads, will you?
This is Britain.
This is Britain. We don't do that shit.
What one did you go to?
I went to Touchwood. And I'll stick a video in, I'll stick the video of the 10987654321 in the video feed. But it was kind of, for Christ's sake, just give us the video. But what was really cool was I mentioned that I was a joint venture customer business and all that. And they pulled me out the line and said, so, it's okay. There's definitely one for you then. You can pay for it now and come in and pay for it, but you'll have to come and pick it up after 9 o'clock. But it's definitely yours and you've definitely got one. I'm like, if I walk in that shop having you pulled me out of the line, is there going to be blood? And he went, well, there's loads. There's one for everyone. Don't worry about it. I'm like, no, I'll go back in the line then. That's fine. And my ticket said 01 on it. 01.
I got nice.
I got the first 32. Wow. No one had the 32 gig iPad before me. So I was the first 32 gig cellular to go out. And here it is. There you go. And I've got to say, I've had it all week, and the cellular's really good. I've never had cellular on an iPad before, and I really, really enjoyed it. I'm actually... the form factor, that little change in the width, I think's made quite a difference to it. I said this was a dead form factor and that the Mini was a takeover, and it's still big, and I'm still struggling to get used to it, but that narrower format is definitely a help. There's no question that. I'll give it credit where it's due. And it's very fast and snappy. I've really enjoyed it this week. Anyone else had one this week?
Yes.
And how did you get on with yours, Jeff? What's your view?
Okay, so the way I got mine was by getting up and going online and paying for it at 1 o'clock in the morning, which would be midnight Pacific time. And I bought it for in-store pickup so that I wouldn't have to go and stand in line. And that worked out great. Because I paid for my iPad, I went back to bed and pretended like I was going to sleep for a little while, and then got up and started with my day. And when I was done writing in the morning, I just drove the 10 minutes over to the Apple store, walked in, and picked up my iPad, and I was done. And I'm loving it. I really like the Air a lot. I upgraded from an iPad 3, and the weight difference, the size difference, the balance, the performance, just across the board, I am really, really pleased with this upgrade.
Yeah, I mean, the weight difference, it's definitely lighter, and you can tell just by holding it that it's lighter. I think Air's a bit of a leap, I have to say. You know, the difference, that's a 3, same as you've got, Jeff, and that's me Air there. There's the difference in size. Oh, if you were wondering, if you're on video, that's the bit that's left over, if you like, at the top edge there. That even just trimming off that 10 millimetres, I think makes a real difference to it. It feels nicer. It feels, and the thinner, you can feel the thinness in your hands. But the lightness, it's not as light. The one thing that really pissed me off was the covers. Because, I mean,
hadn't picked up on that.
No. Here's my old cover look for my iPad 3. Now,
that's not going to fit.
Right. You're saying it's 10 mil over. But actually, with a bit of jiggery pokery and a nice little bit of scalpel work, yours truly.
No, you didn't.
I made it fit. And I was going to do it nice. What I was going to do was peel this off and then fold it round and seal it nicely on the inside with some hot wax. But based on the fact that it didn't clip on, and the next bit I'm going to show you, I thought, nah, bollocks, I won't be bothered. So here's the thing, look. So here's the old cover in the iPad 3. And the magnets are so strong, you can actually hold the iPad up using the cover. Right? Mm-hmm. Fantastic. So that's going to be great. If I just cut this one down, I'm happy as Larry. Here's the cover on the iPad 2. Oh. And the problem with it is, not so much that you can't hold the iPad up, by the way, but actually, you can't even hold the frigging cover up, by the way.
Yeah.
There is absolutely no tack between the cover and the thing. That's it.
You haven't just got a dodgy magnet, have you, by any chance?
No. The old magnets do not work. There you go. You can't even hold the cover up on the thing.
Yeah.
I might have got a dodgy one. I don't know. Jeff, you must have an iPad 3 cover. The magnets are changed, aren't they?
Yeah, the iPad 3 cover is so much better. I mean, it really holds so much better. And it's one of the reasons why I ended up going with the case instead of the cover, one of the many reasons. When I bought the iPad Air, when I was trying out the smart cover for the Air in the store, I was typing on my iPad, and it would just bounce right off the magnets.
Yeah.
And
wow.
And it was way too bouncy anyhow.
It's awful.
And yeah, so then I tried out the smart case, and it's not as bouncy. And since it's actually sticking to the iPad, it doesn't fall off, and so I can actually use the thing. What I really want is for someone to make the leather smart cover that we don't have anymore and make it in the dark blue that I love and make it fit the iPad Air, and then call me and let me know that it's available so that I can get one.
Mm-hmm. So,
well, hopefully third parties will step up to the challenge because they're used to it.
So far, the third party replacements that I've seen are not what I want. They add in little flippy things to do this origami stand stuff, and mm-hmm. or they have pieces that wrap around too much, and they're way over engineering this stuff. Just give me that simple smart cover in dark blue leather with the good hinge on it, and be done with it.
See, now here's the thing: Apple want to say that they're an environmentally friendly company, so my cover is now landfill. I bought a Logitech keyboard to go with my 3. The Logitech keyboard has sufficiently good magnets that it can lift the iPad up. Look, see, on the 3. There you go. That's the keyboard lifting the iPad. Once again, the magnets don't work, so that's that knackered. But that's okay, because actually when you put it together, you see, it's got a little bit left over, but that's all right. That would work just fine. I'm not worried about that. What would be cool, though, is if I could keep this, even though the magnets aren't working, and I could put this in. Now, this is narrower, so that's got to fit in the channel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't fit in the channel. Because of the profile of the channel, that doesn't stand up in it. So this is now landfill. And that's what really pisses me off. They want to come on and say that they're a really, really good, environmentally friendly company. There's no arsenic in the glass and all that shit. And when it comes down to it, they can't just keep the frigging magnets in the same place so that my old covers work, so I don't have to throw the old ones away.
The one that's going to bother me is I don't think the new Air is going to fit my hover bar.
Oh.
The 12 South hover bar thing?
No, it won't.
You can put a bit of rubber padding on the inside. It'll be all right.
Well, no, I can get. I can.
Have
I can.
Option for that.
Right, hang on a second. I just
good audio. Whatever you're doing.
Well, no, yeah, I just so happen to have. Here you go, right above me, because I do keep an iPad above my head just once in a while. I've got a hover bar.
Okay.
And here we go.
Above your head.
Yeah, above my head. It's a long story, but there you go. You see, look, it doesn't fit, and it's not because it doesn't fit at the width. It's because actually there's something gone on where it's actually fractionally shorter and the snappy bit over the top doesn't actually fit either.
There's a business opportunity for iPad, someone to come in for a converter object for everything.
Well, there's a thought. Good one.
Maybe also they've saved their 13% on iPad Air production costs on not putting magnets in. Maybe magnets are really, really expensive. I've been reading in a few places today because you know, I thought I might read something about Apple as soon as I'm coming on the show.
Well,
the actual iPad Air costs are 13% less than the previous generation, which to me is very, very interesting. I mean, why does the most successful company in the world get more successful? Because they can produce a newer model with all the paraphernalia that goes with it, remembering, which you're just working out yourself. But they can produce newer tech, faster tech, I'm sure better tech, for 13%. I mean, 13% is a big, big margin. So there's an extra 13% profit. You know, I mean, well done to them. I just can't quite get my head around how you manage to shave that much off production of onto a new item. It's incredible, absolutely incredible. And I think that is Tim Cook's speciality. That's who he was and what he was. And, you know, before he became the big boss, that's what he was responsible for, you know, making this production work. So it does show that having someone at the very top of the company that's skill is in that line has a very, very big say on how the company moves forward.
That's a good point there, and I think I don't deny that Apple should start looking at improving functionality, reducing costs where possible, and all of that kind of stuff. But and I get the fact that people are going to say, well, you know, but it's a different shape and size, therefore other stuff has to change. I don't deny that. I mean, I knew that I was going to have to make a hatchet job of my cover here if I was going to get it to fit. But it's just things that are expensive, £90 worth of additional cost. And for something as simple as the magnets, people say to me, oh, yeah, but it's a redesigned process. They can't put the magnets in the same place. That's a fanboy talking. That's utter bull.
Well, no,
they could have kept magnets in the same location so that your legacy stuff could have had an option at least.
Yeah. They can put the magnets anywhere they want.
Right, Kelly, sir, go.
So I have exactly the same thing that you have. I have an Air on order, and I have that same keyboard. I have the white one, but I have the same keyboard that you have. And it doesn't fit in the channel. I tried this yesterday because I got to play with Adam Christensen's Air. And he actually was talking about how this is a much nicer cover than the other one because he can hold it up and shake it. And the iPad is very firmly attached on his cover. So that's why I was sort of surprised to hear you complaining about them, because the only one that I have seen in actual person is Adam's. And he was like, this is so much more secure than the one I had before. And I have a 3. I have that same case, and it's still going to be a keyboard. I can still use it as a keyboard. It's a super flat, portable keyboard, and the whole reason that I like it is because it will fit in my bag next to my iPad, and it still will do that. I'm not going to be able to hold it up, but I always have a cover on mine anyway, of some sort. So all I really needed that little groove for was to be able to hold the iPad up. So I'm still going to use my keyboard with my Air. It's just going to be a little bit different setup than what I have currently with the 3. And I think the reason that the dimensions on stuff are funny is because of the bezel on the side, because the angle like from the screen to come back, it's like a real steep kind of slope like this. And on the Air, it's a bit thicker. And I think that's why the height and width stuff that you guys are doing like with the hover bar, I think that's why it isn't working. That's totally a guess because I don't have a hover bar. But that might be part of why.
One of the problems that you've got is the smart case on the new version has got 3 folding sections as opposed to 4. So there's the old cover, and it folds into 4 sections. So when you roll it back and you get that, here's the upright thing to hold your iPad while you type, etc., you've got 4 wrapped around. The new one only has 3. So when you roll it back, the last section is actually too small. So when I had my iPad up trying to watch a movie on the train this week, I got it in the upright position. But the problem was, because it hadn't got that 4th fold around, every time we went over a bump, it would mean that this slide would move up on the magnets and this would fall backwards. And I spent the whole journey picking this up off the table, having had it fall down, because the smart cover, which costs £65 in leather, doesn't actually hold it in its upright position unless it's actually just stood on a table. If it's on a train, you're wasting your time. And this is a mobile computing device. You know, this is mobile. It's got to deal with the mobile environment. That's what really annoyed me. And they took £65 off me. For £89, I can get the new keyboard cover that's got the thing from Logitech. So
just I've just been looking at the Apple support communities, sorry, and there's quite a few people saying that they think the magnets are misaligned, and they're taking it back to the Genius Bars, and they're basically saying the same thing, and they're ordering them new ones.
Well, the magnets aren't right.
Hmm.
Oh,
I mean, it's just cursory glance through the, you know, Apple support.
So
we all know.
So are
you're
we
shouting at the wrong people?
Well, no, I'm quite happy. I'm delighted to find out that the magnets have been put in the wrong place as a manufacturing cock-up. Is that what we're saying?
That's what this guy. There's a couple of people saying they took them in, they tried various different covers, and none of them stuck. And then the Genius has ordered them another device. So I'm not sure what's going on there. But it sounds weird. If Adam is saying his one is sticking perfectly, and we can see from the, you know, from you just like holding it there, mm-hmm. and it's falling straight off, there's something seriously going wrong for your one.
If it should be, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
He shook it. It was not a gentle.
So, no, hang on. Is he talking about he's got.
Yesterday.
Yeah, but Kelly, is he talking about he's got the new cover, or is he talking he's got the old cover and fitted it to the iPad?
No, it's the new cover.
Right, so the new cover is bound to work pretty well with the magnets. The old one, however, not so much. Because what I've got there is the old cover.
Yeah, yeah, so, if you shear off the end of the cover where the magnets live, that might be a problem.
Go on, Carl.
Right, so hang on. Are you trying? I thought you said you bought a new cover for your Air.
I bought the wraparound smart cover, the one that you actually you take the whole device and you put it into the back part. And there's a back part and a front part that are linked together. There's no detachability, if you like, with them. And right. The problem with that is when you fold it, there's only three sections on the fold. So when you stand it upright, what actually happens is that pops open and the thing falls over. The new smart cover, the leather one, the completely encasing cover, won't stand upright in the profile that lets you view TV shows and movies.
Okay. So that one you're holding in your hand. That one you're holding in your hand, that is the cut down iPad 3 cover.
That's a butchered iPad 3 cover with gaffer
tape. That's the one that's not sticking.
No, that won't stick at all.
No. Well, also, you cut the magnet off that activates the screen, haven't you, as well, by cutting off the edge?
Yeah, but I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about the fact that it actually sits on the thing. I would have finished it properly and done all of that kind of cool stuff if it had had a chance, but it's got no chance at all. So I just took a scalpel blade to it and then ran it through the bandsaw outside in the shed.
See, I misunderstood. I thought you'd bought a new, brand new cover.
I have. I bought the smart cover, and that
which is
was
the
one that was the one that fell over constantly when it was in the upright position on the tray.
So it wasn't detaching, it was just not standing up.
Not standing up. Yeah, it can't not detach because you have to actually physically fit the iPad inside it. So.
Sorry, I'm clear now. I've got to get a bit confused.
Yeah, that's all right,
Adam.
That's but people are saying that they're buying new smart covers for the Air, and they're still not lining up properly. So
that's not good.
But that's Apple support communities, and it's always a bit of a mixed bag what you're getting now. So
yeah, no, it's interesting though, very interesting. I go back to what I said. I actually quite like the form factor. It's growing on me, and I did say that I thought that the 10-inch iPad was a dead duck. And the Mini was better. I've pulled the Mini out, and now the Mini looks really small in comparison. But when I was in the throes of being so pissed off with the smart cover, both of them nearly went back the other day. But I'm glad I didn't. I kept the iPad. It's fine.
What SIM is it using? What size SIM?
Well, I've bought the 3 network do a 10 gigabyte per month for £15. Little nano SIM. It's a real super tiny job. And I put that in, and it's pretty good. I mean, when you get onto full speed on the train, it drops out, but then Virgin's own system drops out doing that. So,
and it's good. Apparently, we're three, because I'm on 3 as well, we're going to get 4G next month.
Well, this was the thing. While I was in there asking the girl about it, I said, do you do a pay-as-you-go? And she said, oh, yeah. I said, right, do I have to sign up for 12 months? She said, no, it's a rolling monthly contract. All you have to do is ring up and cancel 333 off your phone, and that's it. Well, I like the idea of that. I said, so what about 4G when it comes along? She says, no, you'll get a data update down the line, and it'll update the SIM, and the SIM will instantly go to 4G. And I said, wow, now I've got a couple of dongles. What do I do about updating those? And she said, you don't have to.
And she's like, oh, let me see your dongle.
Yeah. And she said, you don't have to. She said, what you need is the new dongle that we've got the Wi-Fi, but that's £79.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, so I'll buy a new one of those, and then what do I do? She said, just take the SIMs that you've got out of your other ones and put it straight in. And she said, again, when we go to 4G, it'll be an instant upgrade. There won't be anything to sign. There'll be nothing to pay. There'll be no extension of your contract. Absolutely nothing. It'll just happen. But, I mean, which dongle have you got? Which Wi-Fi have you got, Carl?
I can't remember. I think it's one generation back now.
Yeah, if you've got the HSPA dongle, the white one, you need to go and buy the new one, which is £79 with a gig of data. But all you've got to do is take the SIM out of the old one, if it's a recent SIM, and shove it in that, and that's it. It'll instantly upgrade when you go to 4G.
Is there any possible reason why you'd use a dongle over than just making a personal hotspot on your iPhone?
Not really.
Well, there is, because you don't get unlimited data off a hotspot, do you?
Some of the services don't offer you, and you're not allowed to tether, or you can tether, but if they notice you're doing it, they cut you off.
No, I mean, I bought mine on the premise that it's completely unlimited data on tethering, and I've really tried to hammer it, and no one's ever complained. So it probably is completely unlimited data on tethering, and it still cost me half of what O2 was costing me. So I can't quite work out how this company stays in business, to be honest.
If you want the 4G instant upgrade, you need that kind of MiFi. The Huawei... I don't know what brand it is. Who cares? It's a big black. It's actually a bit of a hockey pick. It's close to an Apple TV in terms of size. But if you've got one of those and you stick a recent SIM in it, it will instantly upgrade to 4G. It's 4G compatible straight away. So there you go.
Oops, just found out American cousins very jealous.
Well, yeah. I mean, 10 gig for £15, $20. That's got to make you salivate.
Just a little.
Kelly was so shocked there, she forgot to come off Moot before she said, wow.
Yeah, that was so impressive, though. Like, that's a really nice... Competition must be really a good thing.
Well,
over here, they all compete to the bottom of the barrel. There is no good mobile company here. It's all who you've heard the least horror stories about is who you go with.
Mm-hmm. Yep, pretty much.
Yeah. Unlimited hotspot usage on 3. I don't think there is, but...
No, there is.
Fair enough.
I mean, I bought it on that premise. That's how they sold it to me.
They have got a lot of different options.
It's called... Oh, I don't... Something like the One Contract. I don't know what it's called.
It's called All the Shit You Can Eat.
Yeah, well, sort of, but it's called... I think it's called a One... I don't know what it's called, but anyway, it's not a lot of money, and... I get about 5,000 phone calls, minutes, and this, that, and the other, and of course I never use most of them.
It's sold on unlimited porn browsing.
What, on that iPhone? Sweet. On an iPhone?
Mate, small's good.
You're limiting your possibilities there, mate.
They're already limited, mate. Long way. Now then, we've had also upgrades to all the iWork packages that have now out, so, and they were all given away free of charge by mistake, and we've all had a week to play with them. And I've got to say, I spent most of the week swearing, trying to figure out where the bloody hell's that gone then.
Oh, he wasn't alone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing that's happened today is I do the rugby club's match day program. So we're at home this week, so I've had to do a match day program. And you know when you used to flow text, you'd put a dual column in and then you'd start a new text box and you'd just find a tab and click and flow it from one to the other and that would be that and it'd automatically flow. And I'm sitting thinking, where the hell's that gone today then? And then I tweet out, where's it gone? And Don McAllister, kind man that he is, screencasts online. You've got to go and use it. Because if I'd have watched it, I would have known. They've got rid of that feature.
For now.
So if you've got...
For now.
Well, no, this is the thing, you see. So the next thing is everyone says, yes, they're looking at putting that back in another 6 months. Who makes an upgraded version of something and removes a feature to then add it later? Because my thought process is, what have you just pushed out then? What is the benefit to upgrading to the new pages? Because it doesn't do everything it used to do, and it doesn't do anything more than it used to do.
But they've got form for this, haven't they? They did exactly the same thing with Final Cut. Everyone complained because it wasn't as extensive as it used to be, and the new version was really dumbed down. And then they go back and they add the features back in. But with, I mean, that was one. That was just one thing. That was just on the Mac, so we could use. But now what they're trying to do is, it seems to me, as an onlooker anyway, is they want to put iPages, iWork across everything, and then all start to build everything back up from the ground. And I know that's caused a lot of pain to people who use like AppleScript and a few of the features that are now missing. But you, I don't know why they push it out before they put everything back in. It's just probably time, but...
No, I think you're completely right. I think they're trying to get a common denominator between the iOS version and the desktop version. And the iOS version isn't ready to have all the added extras that you had on the desktop. So to make them compatible, fully compatible, they've, if you like, downgraded the desktop to where the iOS version is. And as they get the iOS versions to work doing the functionality that you're all talking about, or some of it anyway, then they'll reintegrate that back to the desktop. The Apple script stuff, I don't know where they're going to go with that, because obviously there isn't such a thing for iOS. But for the small things such as Ewan's talking about, when the iOS version is able to do that, then they'll be integrated. They're just basically trying to make... I mean, you know they're two different pieces of software, but they're trying to make it that if you're, say you're used to using the iOS version, you'll be able to use the desktop version exactly the same, and vice versa. They're just basically going to the lowest common denominator to build it back up again, which is exactly what it pains me to agree with him.
I've been scoffed at for this, but what I'm saying is the reason that they've gone 64-bit architecture in the new iOS devices is because of the fact they want to unify the code behind. And everything that you've just said reinforces that. You're going to have one program with a different UI at the front end, and that's it. It's cocoa, nothing more in terms of changing for programming. Makes so much more sense.
In a future extent, yeah, I can see that working, but they're a long way off. But like you said, this maybe is proving your point. This is a looking at it from a futuristic point of view. Yes, I can see why you would say making the desktop version a more compatibility with the limitations of the iOS version does lead me to believe that maybe there's a point in what you're saying.
Thank you very much, mate.
But it's hard for, I mean, it's very hard for us because Apple do this a lot. They just don't seem to care about annoying a certain section of their user base.
Well, you've just alienated every power user you have.
Exactly. And then it'll take, like I say, it did exactly the same with Final Cut Pro, and it just alienated a whole section of people. But then slowly they build it up and they forget and they come, well, they forgive and they come back into the fold. But I guess...
Well, some people need dragging into the future. That is true.
Yeah, that's true. But also the fact that if you've got now a unified pages thing and you are just a casual user, the fact that you can edit a document on your phone, your iPad, and your Mac and a Windows thing, if you log into the website, that's very attractive to just the average user, rather than the power user, obviously.
Well, it's very attractive to the people that are going to be paying for this stuff in 5-6 years' time once they've finished school and college, because they're starting to use it now. They're starting to do their homework and whatever they're doing on their iPads, and they're moving over. And in a few years' time, once they've paid off their student loans, they're going to be the ones that buy the new Apple hardware. So it's probably a better investment in them than worrying about us old folks that have an old way of doing it. Because let's face it, as much as I like to think we are the future, we're not. We're just the people that are bringing up the people that are going to spend the money.
People behind, ever. They do it with applications, they do it with hardware, and they're ruthless at it. And while the frustration we're dealing with right now, I'm really, really frustrated with Pages. But I get what Apple's doing, and it doesn't matter that I'm frustrated because they don't care. What they care about is where they're going. Mm. And where they're going, they needed to just cut all that stuff out and start with their new fresh code base, port it over from iOS, and start moving forward from there. And they're okay doing that. I mean, look at all the technologies they've done that with. They gave us ADB and took it away. They gave us SCSI and took it away. And SCSI did suck, but it was also better than anything else at the time. And and they gave us floppy drives and took them away. And now they're taking away our super drives. And
I think the interesting part of the statement that you just made there, Jeff, is that you said Apple never have a problem leaving people behind. But this is the this is the real question. They're actually leaving people ahead. They're unraveling the tech and going back in functionality to gather more users. And the people that have actually latched onto what they've done and said, "Wow, this is brilliant!" And I love Pages. I frigging love it. It's so much better than Microsoft Word. And Numbers is 10 times better than anything that Excel's got to offer. But I was right up there pulling the wagon with me over my shoulder, and then someone's cut the frigging rope. And the wagon's rolling back down the hill, and I'm stood ahead of the game, not behind.
I do think Office and iWork are aimed at two different audiences, really. I mean, Office is a professional-grade, like, documents that you're working in a massive office, you've got to do massive amounts, like a really complicated contract that multiple people have got to work on. That's where Office excels, and that's going to excel in that space for a long time. No pun intended there, by the way. That's going to go carry on. But Pages is more, I get feeling more personal for people.
Pages is more graphic friendly.
Which is where it leaves
Word well behind, because Word is crap at doing anything other than making a legal document.
True, but okay. So the point is, do we trust? Do we? Because we've got no real evidence of this. There was a little post that Apple said, "Don't worry, in 6 months' time, we're going to start adding things back." Or within 6 months, we're going to. But have Apple gained that trust with us? Do we trust that they will go back and correct these and update things to how they were?
Never.
No, they'll wait for people to see how long they
carry on
shouting.
They're not going to make things how they were. They're going to add new features into these new programs. So don't think of it as Apple going back and fixing it. This is a fresh start. This is a new thing. And I'm not saying that from a fanboy standpoint, because I bagged on Pages a lot in my review. But it's because that's the mindset that Apple has. It isn't go back and fix it. It's new thing. New features coming.
But all technology does that, especially in the print. If you look at, say, the Times, you know, look at the Daily Times now. What we saw as a major leading newspaper, the way it was presented, has changed over the last, say, 10 years. We don't expect the layout to be as convoluted and complicated. And things like Word, they may be able to do these wonderfully exciting things, but as users, we are, like we have in photography, like we have in loads of other things, music, we've been taught to not expect, to not even expect. We've learned how to appreciate things which are maybe on a more simple basis. And I think a lot of what Apple have achieved over the last few years is to say, you know what, that thing there may have been even more complicated and therefore in your eyes may be better, but so much of that is not needed anymore. It's obsolete, and we aren't going to carry on supporting the obsolescence of ideas. And like I say, if you look at the way books are printed now, if you go back to, a 100-year-old Britannica or something, you try reading it now, because we're not used to that. It's far more complex the way it's laid out. It's far more difficult to look at. You know, things are automatically spaced out. Nowadays, we'll have a gap at the end of a column rather than stretching out the minutiae of spaces in between the words to make it sit beautifully left and right of the justification. We don't do that anymore. So what Apple are doing, and they will succeed because of, it's like databases. The bit we see at the front end of a database is far more simple than it used to be 20 years ago when I used to work with databases. It's all simplified by, making what goes on underneath the bonnet, so to speak, work for us. And we get used to the simplified output. And so, therefore, a lot of the things they're not putting back in or not put back in at the moment, in 6 months' time, in a year's time, in 5 years' time, we won't even necessarily want them anymore, because we would have got used to them not existing. And that's what happens with all technology. There's buttons on my cameras that I look at, and I look at old cameras and I look at the buttons and go, "Oh, do you remember when I used to use that?" And it's like nostalgia says, "Oh, that's really good, but I've got used to not using that anymore, so I don't need it really."
Shut up, isn't it?
There's bits. I mean, we had a discussion about 6 months, a year ago on the photo show, and someone said, do you know that button, the AE lock, blah, 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 lock?
Oh, mate, don't go back to that. We got so much shit over that episode.
Yeah, but no, but the point is, both me and you went, to be honest, I haven't used it for so long, I can't remember what we would do that for.
Yeah.
Because we hadn't used it, because it's almost obsolete. And that's what I'm saying about all this software. It's becoming obsolete because of by usage, and that's what Apple are pushing, and they will succeed.
Pissing me off, though, nonetheless. Oh, man. But Batwinch in the chat room saying that she loves Word over Pages, but I've got to say, once you get into Pages and you work out all the shiz that goes on with it, it's significantly more powerful. And numbers as well. Someone says Excel's an OS in its own right, which there's a lot in OS. I mean, I've seen people playing Tiki Golf, which is in an Excel spreadsheet. I mean, it is fantastic. And I'm not sure you could do that in numbers. But just simple stuff like...
No, you can't. But no.
But you want a checkbox. You want a checkbox that you can just say, I want a radio button, on or off, true or false, tick or no tick. That's right-click, checkbox, done. Whereas in Excel, you've got to know the formula to get that to happen. That's the difference. It's good at getting things done quickly, as opposed to screwing around. Has there been any news in Apple this week? Because I've done is spent the week bitching.
Only all the updates. They pushed out a load of updates this week, didn't they?
What were the updates for, Carl?
Well, just fixes, really. I think iTunes got a fix. iBooks.
Yeah, that's 3, isn't it now? 11.03.
Yeah, iBooks got a fix. The Gmail.
For the new MacBook Pros with the keyboards and trackpads. Unresponsive thing.
Mal, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Was it Mal or Mavericks got an update to deal with the Gmail problem?
Yeah, they updated Mail
yesterday.
This morning.
Yeah. I haven't had a chance to install any of these updates yet.
I've given up on Mail.
The thing that was killing me with Mail is that was the password problem, and I had to go in and alter password authentication to Apple token authentication. And okay, it took me ages to find that, and I just thought, why do I have to manually go and change something? It updated my machine. Why has it messed it up? And it's written down as a workaround, and I'm just a bit... I hope that new update does sort that issue out, but I just thought that was a really big problem because every time I logged into Mail, every single time I logged in, I had to re-put in my password.
Is that for your Mac account or is that for your Gmail?
No, that was for Mac.
Oh, that's interesting, because, I mean, normally you get that on Gmail because of instances of access, don't you?
Yeah, but, no, it was a recognised issue, and Apple had... They said they were going to address the issue, but the workaround was to go to your SMTP or STMP, whichever way it is, go to advanced, go from password authentication to Apple token authentication, and it would pull a token down next time you opened it up, and then it would store the token. And I just thought, wow, that really is, it's a pain. Because, I mean, for instance, you know, if my mum was using her machine, there was not a chance in hell I could even talk her through doing that. And she just wanted to turn on Mail and be able to get her .me.
I haven't had the call yet from my mum, but I'm getting it coming now. Windrider in the chat room is correcting me. He says it's 11.1.3. Thanks very much, mate. Belt says STMP, but I think, is that STMP or is that SMP?
I can't remember
what way. SMTP, Transfer Protocol.
So, yeah, SMTP. My brain went into melt.
Ard is a pile of crap at the moment, says Matt.
It's also
Apple Remote Desktop, says Rick.
Western Digital are in a spot of bother as well with when it interacts with Maverick. Certain data management software.
Well, it doesn't. That's the problem.
Kelly, did you just say that's an understatement, said Kelly?
No, I said that's a bit of a problem.
Yeah, no, apparently if you've got a Western Digital drive and you're using Western Digital software, which I've got to say I've never, ever used software provided with any drive manufacturer, not just Western Digital.
No, that's just asking for pain.
Exactly. You come down in the morning and you turn on your drives and they all now say my drive and that's it. It's done. Everything's gone.
That makes sense to what's happened in my house over the last couple of days.
So what have you lost then, Alex? Because I've got Western Digital drives, but I've just formatted them as journals extended, and that's it. They're called what I want to call them, and I don't use any software to control them apart from Finder.
No, what's funny is it hasn't wiped the actual drive off because of the machine that was using Mavericks was giving me all sorts of hassle and wouldn't look at them. And the machine that's running with a pre-Mavic mounting line sees everything perfectly fine. So I just made sure nothing that's got Mavericks on it touches any of my external drives at the moment. They call it thieving problems, but if it had actually gone and wiped my drive, it would be more than thieving problems. It would have been a Mac through the front window of the next Mac store I walked past problem. But it's not that great here, but the Maverick drives just... The Maverick machines aren't seeing them properly.
Belt says, is it a Western Digital issue or a Mavericks issue?
It's Western Digital. Care. According to Western Digital, it's their problem.
It's semantic. It's a lack of data problem.
Well, definitely afterwards. Unfortunately, it doesn't just affect hardware. If you can see anything on here, this piece I'm reading, Seagate, Lacy, USB Firewire, and Thunderbolt connected devices all experience the same issues if you're using WD software.
Well, the only thing I did was I left the WD launcher on and it tried to eat everything. But like I say, it didn't do any lasting damage. There's an interesting story from the Vodafone store in Australia that came through earlier this afternoon.
It looks like we're done with that story then, everyone.
Oh, sorry about that. I thought we were.
Sorry, Alex. Go ahead, mate. I couldn't resist.
All right. Well, Vodafone.
Tell us about it, Alex.
Vodafone store in Australia evacuated as iPad Air reportedly burst into flames. iPad Air. I just thought it sounded like something you'd get from the sort of National Enquirer. It was that type of headline. It was like, the world is coming to end. iPad Airs are all about to explode.
It's because of the magnet position.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. But I read through this story and it was... I'm not going to quote names because I don't want to give them it. But the person in charge there said, thankfully, the iPad Air reportedly was the only thing harmed in the explosion. Oh, and nobody was injured. And I just there you go.
Oh, how many years in journalism school?
Yeah, oh, wow. Brilliant. Loved it.
Piece summary says, Vodafone spokesman told the website that a burst of flame shot out of the charging port of the device, after the mini explosion, the device continued to spark while smoke filled the store. Both customers and employees were forced to evacuate.
I love the way that the iPad Air was the only thing that was damaged. Oh, and no one was hurt. Just we'll add that bit to make us sound more.
Because that wasn't clear from the people that could speak English.
Oh, well. Nice bit of reporting.
This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2.net. They're bloody marvellous. There's 50% off web hosting throughout the whole of autumn. So if you're a customer, this is a better deal than we can offer with the offer codes. So get yourself down to UK2. Please, please, please go through BritishTechNetwork.com as you flock to buy UK2 services because they're absolutely stunning. And go through our website and go through the portal and get the link that goes through and then use our offer codes because we get the credit for it rather than some bland voucher code site that does it. UK2 are still supporting us. They will be supporting us for a long time to go. And we thank them very much for their support because without them, we would never have got this far. I mean, we've been broadcasting for 5 years this year. And without them, UK2 would have been stuffed. They picked up all the bandwidth when Backlink was horrifically expensive. So that's why we're still with them. Thank you very much, UK2. Please support them because they support us. Okay. Right. I have got a tingle on because we're going to do the cool things now. And Alex has sent me a picture, and I haven't researched what the picture is that he sent me, but based on what I think from the picture, I'm tingling because this is something that could be incredibly useful for me. So I'm going to hold you in suspense because the first one to start us off with their cool thing is going to be Mr. Madden.
I don't want to jump, but I have to get down to breakfast.
Kelly, the queue jumper, just thinking of a stomach, says, can I go first?
Perfectly acceptable.
I'm joking. Like to get some breakfast today.
Kelly, it's a joke. Kelly, it's a joke.
Okay, so my pick is this app called Space Team.
Okay.
It's a game, and it's free. But here's the thing, is I got it a long time ago when it like first was released or whatever, and people were like, oh my God, you need Space Team, you need Space Team. So I got it, but I didn't have anyone to play it with, and it's a group game. So what you do is each person gets a console, and you're all running a spaceship. So everybody gets a console on their screen, and you can play over Wi-Fi or over Bluetooth. So, you know, if you're in the car or whatever and you want to play with people, you still can. And you get pieces of a console, and then a description of something that you have to do shows up on everybody's screen, and you all have to work together. It'll take up to 8 people. You all have to work together so that the person who's getting instructions, it may or may not be something they have to do on their own screen. So I get something and I have to say it. So I was playing last night with Adam, and so I said, oh, this, and until somebody else does the thing, and then you get, and the longer everybody is able to coordinate and get all their instructions and stuff done, it's really great. And the other thing about it that's really entertaining is if you do this somewhere public, like in a bar or a curry house or whatever, there's also asteroids. And in order to avoid the asteroids, you have to shake your phone and then hold it upside down like this. And so the reason we found out about it and it was like reintroduced to me was because yesterday there were a table full of people playing Space Team at lunch. And so eventually I went over and I said, I'm really curious what you guys are doing. And they said, oh my God, Space Team. So we tried it out last night and it's super fun. And I believe it to be free. If it's not free, it's $1. And it was a completely super fun game. And it's one of those things that I have a soft spot for because I'm also partial to Nintendo games where it's a co-op and group sort of stuff together. And that's what makes me really happy about it. So that's my pick. And you can find me on Twitter and app.net as Verso. And I will show you guys later.
Enjoy your breakfast.
Indeed.
Bye, Kelly.
I will do my best. Bye, guys.
Windrider says nice hat as well. All right, bollocks, go off then. Jesus Christ. I've got to go. My stomach's rumbling.
Right. Hopefully valid excuse.
We can't have Kelly Wither wait to nothing on us. Now,
absolutely not. Right then, back in line. Mr. Madden, go ahead.
What? Because I got in so late, I didn't have time to research anything. So I'm just going to go with Batman Arkham Origins again, which I picked
up. You did that last night! You can't do that!
You don't. Hang on, you might not have like exactly 100% audience for each show, so, you know. So, Venn diagram, you never know what's in the middle there. No, I'm going to go Arkham Asylum Origins. Sorry. Okay, it's a good Batman beat-em-up with one downside, and that is two of the in-app purchases are for £70, so make sure you're not passcoding and hand this game to your kid, because you could be out of pocket really fast.
That is, I said it last night on the show, and I'll say it again today, that is an attempt at fraudulent exploitation, because there isn't a single, you say, Call of Duty Ghosts was out the other day. You can't pay more than £52 to buy that game, no matter where you go for it. That is the maximum price. And you're talking about, you can get £140 charge?
Yes, if you buy like one of each of these additional in-app purchases, yeah, you could up. And that's just one. You could then go back and do it again and again and again.
And so, That is exploitation, mate. That is disgraceful, and that should call period on in-app purchases, because it's disgusting.
It's shocking, you know, but the game is good. Apart from that,
I noticed earlier. I don't know. I might have been the App Store as in the Mac App Store, and it goes through the top this and the top grossing, the top this. All the top grossing ones at the moment are free asterisk, and I was thinking, I wonder why.
Yeah. Because the in-app purchase is £500,000.
Right. You know, I remember, it was only sort of 6 months ago when people started using the word freemium. And we all went, what's freemium? And everyone goes, look, hold on, it's not free. And no one really understood it. You know, it was like, oh yeah, but it's free. But in-app purchases, it shows you that I'm not really one for legislation, but I really do think something needs to give here, because the people are...
There's got to be some control.
Yeah, if you don't know what the end price is of the product you're buying, then I think there's something wrong.
Well, the thing that set it off for me was Let's Golf 3. Now, Let's Golf 2 was a fantastic game. Really enjoyed it, and I paid, I think, $5.99 for it, so it was excellent. Let's Golf 3 came out, and I played two holes of golf, and then my guy was so tired that he couldn't continue. All right, so what do I need? I need an energy boost. How much is the energy boost? £35.
What?
Holy crap.
I'm just going back a year now.
Golf at that price.
Exactly.
Yeah.
£35 for an energy boost. And then I was talking to Will Green and I mentioned this thing and he said, oh no, he said, I had the problem with, it was something like a hamburger factory game where if you wanted the cheese, you could buy the cheese to add to your burger. And all it was his little lad, it was an under fives game. You added ingredients to burgers on this production line to make a correct burger and you got a way, well done, you made the correct burger. And it was just matching shapes and squares and that kind of stuff to get the right thing. If you wanted the cheese, it was £35 for an under-fives game.
And holy crap.
That is obscene. That is criminal in my mind.
No, honestly, I think it's a European Union issue. I really do think that shouldn't be allowed.
Totally.
What the hell are they doing?
I don't mind. I am all for developers getting fair prices for what they provide.
We'll charge £20 for the game and be done with
it. Well, I have paid £40 for a game on the App Store, because the game was worth £40. I have paid £25 for utilities on the App Store because they give me what I want in terms of time lapse and all that kind of stuff. I don't mind paying the full fare for it, but I cannot stand in-app purchases. They are criminally fraudulent in the way that they are used. It's disgusting. Got that off my chest. Now I'm excited. Now I'm excited because it's Alex's go. Go, Alex.
Right.
I hope you don't let me down here, dude.
No, I'm not. Before I start, to let Carl off of his not having a pick, Carl is the one that put me onto this about a week and a half ago. So here we go. Carl sent me this, and he said, is this any good? It's free today. I went, oh, well, I'll download it and have a look, because it's by a company called DxO Optics, which is a company I used to spend a fortune with years ago before Photoshop had its own inbuilt lens correction, because these were the only company that did lens correction and they had a database and it was brilliant. Now, DxO Optics at the moment, if I hadn't have just pressed the button and lost the window I was looking at the moment is £6.99. And the normal price, well, the normal price is $9.99 or $19.99. So £6.99, so what's that, £15 normal price or something? Or 13, I don't know. Anyway, what it is, it's a piece of software in the App Store, and it will correct the perspective of a shot you've taken. Now, the example they talk about is if you've taken shots of buildings and everything, and it will correct the perspective for you, which is great. And I thought, you know what? I'd like to be able to correct the perspective of a quick shot I did. I took a picture of, there's a painting that's always behind my head when I do these shows, and it's a painting that I've had for years, and I thought, you've all seen this painting anyway. So I shot it at a really obtuse angle with an old iPhone just to see what happened. So take the picture, you load it up into DxO Optics. I picked the one which was rectangular. It's not actually rectangular. You just have four little dots on the screen. So what I do, you pick one dot, you put it on one corner, and you just put all four dots on the corners of the object, so it's I know it's meant to be square, so top left bottom, you know, press the button and it converts it mathematically to virtually, because I did a measurement afterwards just to make sure it was right, virtually a perfect correction of the perspective.
It's not bad, mate. I think it's a touch narrow.
No,
I checked it
because I thought it looked narrow, so I got a ruler and I checked the ratios. And it was right. And I was like, blimey.
But even whether it does or it doesn't, optically, if you think it's a bit narrow, I mean,
just stretch it. Yeah.
What you've got there is easily stretchable to the correct proportion. So I think that's done a fantastic job, mate.
But it has a manual override. So you can do the automatic and then you can just manually adjust it. It's got manual metering. You just sort of move it. Oh, no, I just want that slightly less. And you can slightly less automatically perspective change it. It's absolutely incredible.
It is pretty damn good from what I've seen there.
And I was just like playing with this, and I did a couple of other things, and there's other bits I haven't even gone through yet where you've got multiple points of correction. The building one is really simple. You take a picture of buildings in the distance and they're all going to bend in, such as Carl did an image of Big Ben about a year ago, and Big Ben looked like it was falling over. So with this, you just do a line down the straight line of Big Ben, you press the button, and out it pops, and it straightens everything out, but mathematically correct. It's not just corrected by eye, it's corrected by mathematics. Ewan's big hate when you've got a horizon on the sea. If the horizon on the sea is not straight, draw the line at the horizon on the sea that you've got, press the button, hey presto, you've got a straight horizon. And it also can set automatic crop. So it will crop the image to make it fit the new perspective. Oh, $6.90, I got it for free. $6.99 is a hell of a bargain. And whatever it is, £13, I still think it's a bargain. So honestly, this is an incredibly, incredibly powerful piece of kit. And everybody's taken holiday snaps that you look at that and go, oh, I wish I could have been at that angle or this angle, and I wish I could have corrected it. The corrections on this thing are incredible, because you not only can correct up and down, if you've taken it and you've taken the building and you're not quite in the front of the building, just do it like you did with this picture. Get the perspective for the entire view chain. You'd swing everything right. It really is an amazing piece of kit.
I do a lot of stuff with ergonomics with my photography, which is about creating photo-real workstations, photo-real environments of applications that are being done. And one of the things I'm doing at the moment is creating a thing that lays between two tracks on a railway and operates on a remote control system. And I've got to make a video which will do this. But actually, the thing that I'm laying between the tracks, I've only got stills of, and I animate the way that it moves in motion by cutting it up into PSD file with layers and then getting those layers to move. You've just saved me Christ knows how long trying to get the perspective of a shot that I've taken that's a still to marry up with the perspective of the video. It's going to be a piece of cake, because all I'll do is take a perspective of the video as the backdrop, and then I'll take this application and replicate with that. Alex, I love you.
Well, you know, in Photoshop, there's
and Carl, of course.
Command. You know, there's a perspective command in Photoshop. First of all, you've got to spend
It doesn't do as well as that.
I know. The perspective command is something you have to still operate by eye. It will pull things in perspective, but you've got to know when to stop.
But you see, whenever I've done that, and this is what my point was about that, actually, that picture looks slightly narrow, is that in correction to the eye, I've never done it in terms of perspective correction and got it to look natural.
Yeah.
Right or wrong is not the statement. Natural's the statement.
Yeah. But this is the example I put up there is two different perspectives at the same time. It's not only the left and right perspective, it's the up and down perspective. That is when it gets so complicated.
Very good.
I've just done this in one click, and I couldn't believe it. I just looked at this thing. Do you know how many hours of my life I've wasted before this came along?
Batwench is currently stuck in a queue around Birmingham. There's a surprise. Well, you should have got on the toll, girl. Worth every penny of the £5. Great pick, Alex. That's got to be pick of the month for me, have to say.
Carl gave it to me inadvertently about a week ago.
And well done, Carl. Are you guys coming to London tomorrow for the Lord Mayor's parade? And photo walk?
No.
I've got the whole family trolling down.
Not for the photo walk. I mean, just whenever there's an event like that in London, you try and stay away from it. That's what I mean.
we're Londoners. There's no way.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, we'll probably be in a bar anyway, so with the kids tied to us in case we lose them when we're drunk. I left Ellis at the rugby club the other week. We were down last Friday for the fireworks night, and Sharon came down and brought a pile of wood and helped set the thing up. And then I said to everyone, right, I'm going home to change before tonight. So I got in the van and I drove off. I got back home, and Sharon said, where's Ellis? I said, you brought him back. She said, no, I didn't. He's still down the rugby club. So I said, well, I won't be getting changed. And I got in the van and drove back. I mean, he was safe. He was fine. There was people there. It wasn't like I'd left him in the middle of a field. But
How many pints did you
actually
sink?
Had.
I hadn't had any, and I didn't have any because I had the van. But
Ellis, how many did Ellis manage to sink while you were flying?
He probably blagged a few drinks, yeah, but not pints. Let's not go there. Social services might be listening.
So, Ewan, I just noticed the time.
Jeff, what have you got for us?
Now to go to another meeting.
Oh, okay, mate. Thank you for your pick. It was fantastic.
I will toss out what my pick is, and I'll let you guys figure out to go look it up. It's called Knock, and it's an application that goes on your iPhone, and you knock on your iPhone like this, and it unlocks your Mac for you. It replaces your passcode.
Knock. It's K-N-O-C-K, I take it?
K-N-O-C-K.
I've seen this video.
So go check it out. It's very cool. It's like $4 or $5. And I have to bail because my meeting.
No, thank you very much for coming in, sir. We do appreciate it.
So, and thanks for having me on. It's always a blast.
Cheers, man. Thanks a lot.
Bye, Jeff.
All right, see you.
Bye-bye, Jeff.
Has anyone got a clue what he's talking about?
Yes. It's an app. It's an application that unlocks your... So you can have your Mac lock up with a password, and then you put this Knock app on your phone, and then you just tap the phone, and that, over Bluetooth, it unlocks the Mac.
Wow!
That's it.
But it means bashing your phone on the table or something.
Well, you don't really have to. I mean, you don't have to bang it hard. Just like tap. It's only like, obviously...
I just realised what that is. What you do, you put it in the back pocket, and you can pretend you're in that old-time Asda advert. You know, where they used to... You walk in, you get like that, and like, what are you doing? You go, look, the Mac's just turned on.
That's as the price.
Exactly.
Delete. I've forgotten to remember a cool thing. I've been too busy. Because as soon as I saw Alex's thing, I was going like, what? My cool thing is that the Kismet Curry House is on Twitter. Have you followed it?
You haven't got the idea of this cool thing, have you?
Have you followed it yet, guys?
No, I did see that you were trying to blag a free...
I am the first follower of Kismet.
Did you set up a site for them?
No, I didn't.
Why are we going to follow them? We live in London.
No, you've got to follow them, mate, because you guys have been there. You love the food. Milan deserves the followers, mate. Go to Kismet_Indian on Twitter and follow Kismet Curry House. And they've got a grand opening on the 15th next week, £20 a head, and there's a buffet-style meal, and the new extension is finally going to be opened. And it's worth coming up for, because that's where the bash is going to be on the 11th of July. The event at the Curry House is going to be in that event room, and there's going to be buffet-style starters and stuff like that, and beer flowing, and... Instead of going over to the Bradford and sitting drinking beer, we're going to be in there drinking beer with loads and loads of food to pick at as we go along, and a garden out the back and all sorts. It'll be stunning. Absolutely stunning. So follow Kismet_Indian on Twitter, and they're fantastic. And I was the first follower.
So last week your pick was Netflix.
Oh, bollocks.
Next week I'm picking Google.
You're laughing.
Now, what have I downloaded this week that's really cool? Oh, yeah, DxO Perspective. It's friggin' amazing! I don't know why we've never picked that before.
Well, the thing is, I used to buy DxO software, right? And it used to cost me, what was it, £150 for each version?
Yeah.
I can't believe this is $6.99. In fact, I didn't pay, obviously, because of COVID.
I've paid $6.99, but the thing is, normally I say, I've just purchased that and it's downloading. And actually, no, I haven't. It was already downloaded because as soon as I got your picture through, I went, what the hell's that? And DxO Perspective, done.
It's funny, gone. I played with it when he sent it to me, and I just did the build, and I thought, well, that's nice. And then I was just sitting there thinking, hold on a minute, he's got four corners. I wonder if I can do a painting. And I did that, and I went, oh, my God. Carl, you've probably saved me 10 hours a week. You've probably saved
me. Mate, I'm making videos, mate. It's superb.
A pint is all I ask for.
Sold. There we go. Batwinch has just put in the chat room, there's dramatic skies over Dudley. Wait till they start with the tracer bullet fire, mate. Then you'll know that it's dramatic.
It's a Mardi Gras, that Dudley.
Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Madden?
You can get a hold of me on Twitter at Claw0101 or on the media show, which I normally do with that fella called Alex Fox.
Yes. Spoiler alert was the last one, wasn't it?
Rhymes with spoiler.
Yeah. I get in trouble for.
Do either of you guys listen to Bill Maher? Bill Maher.
No.
His podcast. Oh. Bastard gave away the secret in Gravity.
Oh. Oh, don't share that then.
No. Yeah, George Clooney's a fucking ghost.
Ah. Oh.
There you go.
That better not be true.
Alex, where are you?
Oh, dream.
I'm Alex G. Fox on Twitter, and I also do the media show. I mean, I don't know what else to say, really.
Okay, mate.
I take pictures and I do the media show. That is my life.
My name's Ewan Rankin. You get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. Kelly Gamont's at Verso on Twitter. And Jeff is J Gamut on Twitter. And he does Fresh Brewed Tales as well, if you want to do that. We'll be back again next week with more slagging off of Apple on the Mac show, because we are not partisan here, fanboys. No. See you all.
Bye. Bye.